You're live.
Okay.
We're live. Welcome. Thank you for attending MMS 2013, and especially thank you for attending our session today, Configuration Manager 2012, Service Pack 1, and PowerShell, truly better together. Part of our goal today is going to be to show you that. My name is Greg Ramsey. I'm a Config Manager MVP. I work at Dell. Actually, I'm not a Config Manager MVP anymore, am I? What am I, Kaido?
We both are Enterprise Client Management MVPs,
yes.
Starting from today.
Officially, Enterprise Client Management MVPs today.
Yep.
So go ahead, Kaido, introduce yourself.
My name is Kaido Aramets, and I'm from Estonia, and I'm working for a company called Cortec.
Great.
Yep.
Let's get started. Very brief agenda. We're going to talk a little bit about some scripting history, obviously Configuration Manager, SP1, and PowerShell, and demos. We've got a lot of demos, so pray to the demo gods. No internet access required for our demos today, so I think we're in good shape. As we mentioned, please save all questions for the end. I got a laugh. That's good.
Okay, a little bit about scripting, Configuration Manager scripting history. Before Configuration Manager 2012 Service Pack 1, we needed to use only WVMI to simplify, to automate different things using VBScripts, PowerShell or CSAP, and creating custom scripts for Configuration Manager may take a lot of time, because first we need to write it, then we need to test it, and then we need to verify that it doesn't broke anything. And starting from Service Pack 1, we now have officially PowerShell support, and Service Pack 1 contains 471 different commandlets. And just 2 weeks ago, Greg?
Couple weeks ago?
Yep, Microsoft just released Cumulative Update 1 for Service Pack 1, and Cumulative Update 1 added 40 new commandlets, and now we have totally 1,675 different parameter sets.
It's a lot of parameters.
Yeah, and currently we don't have a 100% match between the user interface and the commandlets. For example, we can't create console, admin console folders, or we can't add, for example, maintenance windows for the collections.
Right. There's certain things we'll talk about a little bit later. We still have to leverage WMI on occasion. It all depends on what you're looking to do. Just a show of hands, who's using VBScript in Configuration Manager today? Great.
Okay.
Who's using PowerShell in Configuration Manager? Good. Good to see. How many are on SMS 2007, or Configuration Manager 2007. Okay, great.
Okay, and Configuration Manager PowerShell module only works with 32-bit Windows PowerShell, and if you're still using a Windows Server 2008 or R2, then you need to install also Windows Management Framework 3.0 also. And Configuration Manager PowerShell module is digitally signed, so if you start the Configuration Manager PowerShell session through admin console, then it also imports the digital certificate automatically. But if you do it from PowerShell IC, then you need if you do it under another account, for example, local system account, or you have a specific service account, then you need to import the certificate to that user account certificate store.
Great. A couple of things to mention here, as Kaido was saying, 32-bit PowerShell. So the Configuration Manager admin console is in 32-bit as well. So if you launch it, as Kaido will demonstrate in a little bit, from the admin console, you're in good shape. If you launch it from a standalone PowerShell session, just keep that in mind. If you import that module or attempt to, you're going to have some challenges if you just start running command lines. It's important to get into a 32-bit environment first.
Mm-hmm. And currently we have two options to start the Configuration Manager PowerShell session. We can do it through the admin console, or we can directly from PowerShell console. By default, the module is located under the admin console bin folder, and the module file name is configuration-manager.psd1. And if you install the admin console to your site server or management server, then it also creates an environment variable called SMS admin UI path. This environment variable gives you a little bit of flexibility in your browser scripts.
At this point, we don't have to care as much where the console is actually installed, as long as you've got this variable.
Yep.
It's easy for you to script out launching. And a lot of people actually create a shortcut on their desktop that'll embed this and launch it as well.
Yep. So you don't need to hard code this.
Right.
So driver letter in your script, so.
Makes it a lot easier to share.
Okay, let's look at our first demo. I have already opened admin console, and in the upper left corner, we have this blue rectangle. And if you click it, then you will see it below here, connect via Windows PowerShell. Let's click that one, and it will open up the 32-bit Windows PowerShell console, and it will take a moment to import the module. And if you see the prompt with your site code, then the module import was successful. So as you can see here, my site code is PR2.
Kaido, what happens if you have more than one primary? Will it automatically launch to the console you have open? Yeah, I think it will. If you launch it from a command prompt, though, you'll actually have more than one drive, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I will show it later.
Okay.
Actually, behind the user interface, it runs this command. So, and you can easily take the command and create a shortcut, for example, on your desktop. And you can execute directly from your desktop if you want. So it's really, really easy. The second option is to start the Configuration Manager PowerShell session from PowerShell IC. And I have here three different examples. And in example 2 and in example 3, I'm using the environment variable to import the module. For example, let's take the second one. Module is imported. OK, let's try to get a new package. And the command fails. Greg, why it fails?
Because this command cannot be run from the current drive.
Yep.
So how do we fix that?
Actually, Configuration Manager PowerShell module contains also PowerShell provider, and you need to execute all the commands inside CM site PowerShell provider. You can use cd command or set location. I will take the second one. Let's execute this one. And let's try to execute the new CM package commandlet again. And now it works. So let's check the console. And I should have one package 7-zip here. Yep.
Success. Great. Helps if I push the right button. OK, let's talk a little bit about collections.
Yep. Let's take a closer look what we can actually do with these built-in commandlets. For the collections, we have actually two commandlets, one for device collections and one for user collections. Device collections, we have a new CM device collection commandlet, and user collections, we have new CM user collection commandlet. The first example in here gets a very simple collection without any refresh schedule, so no special settings. The second one creates a collection with a refresh schedule. So if you want to add a refresh schedule to your collection, then you need to use first new CM schedule commandlet, and then you can pass this object to refresh schedule parameter. Currently we have four different commandlets for the collection rules.
Right, so there's a few different types of collection membership rules you can create, right? There's direct and there's query based. We're all familiar with those from even previous versions of Configuration Manager. And then you also have exclude and include membership rules as well. If you're not familiar with those yet, that allows you to include or exclude other collections. So pretty powerful in what you can do there. Let's see. Anything there? Anything else in collections?
Nope.
Let's go to demo.
Yep. Let's create a few collections. So. Okay. Let's create one device collection. First, I need to import the PowerShell module. Then I need to change the connection context to my CM site. And then I can execute the last line, new CM device collection. So let's execute the code. And let's see, it should, okay. Now I have one collection, MMS 2013. So it's a simple collection without any special settings. I don't have any refresh schedule here or nothing. So let's create a collection with the refresh schedule. So first we need to create the refresh schedule object, and then we can use this object in our second commandlet. So let's execute this one. And now, now I have a second collection with refresh schedule. Yep. But if you want to add, for example, a lot of collections, then you can describe all your collections in CSV file, and you can use import CSV commandlet to import the collections information. Then we need to change the connection context, and then we can use a for each statement to go through all the collections that we have in CSV file. So if I execute this code, okay. Let's check the admin console, and now I have 10 new collections. And you can do vice versa also. You can query all the collections with getCMDeviceCollection commandlet, and you can export this information to CSV file and import, for example, another environment.
It's one way you could migrate back and forth if you wanted to. Huh?
Yeah, great. Yep.
All right, let's talk a little bit about managing content on distribution points. If you've used 2012 for a little while, I don't know about you, but I found this a challenge. If, let's say you want to remove content from 5 distribution points, how many has gone into that GUI and selected each one, hit remove, select another one, hit remove? It's kind of a pain. Same thing for validate and redistribute, right? This is on the package properties for a package or application. So I have a couple examples here, some right-click tools, and we're going to talk a little bit about those and just briefly talk about how to build those, and I'll send you some links for where we can go to learn more about those. Okay, good. Okay, so as I was mentioning, actually, I've added to the monitoring tab. I knew something was wrong. Let's go over in monitoring and let's look at distribution status, because normally you can't perform any of those types of actions here. So now when I right click, I have a manage content. You can see there's a few options here that we've created. Validating content on all targeted DPs for this package or app. Redistributing, removing, or sending to a DP group. Often that happens in our environment. We tested it with a test distribution point. Then we want to go back and we've forgotten we haven't sent all the distribution points. So this is just a quick way, because you're in this screen and that's when you realize that you only targeted one. So now let me, from right here, go ahead and target all my DPs with a DP group. start just briefly with the send to DP groups, and actually I want to show you a little XML, and we'll talk a little bit about how to get the right click tool in there. We have a few slides in the presentation that are hidden. We figured we wouldn't have time to talk about those today, so definitely download the slides from the MMS site, and you'll see some links to Matthew Hudson's blog where he talks about how to create these right click tools. Basically, there's a GUID for every single thing in your console. Once you know the GUID, you can extend your admin console by adding an XML file in the right place. So this is an example for managing DP content. And I've created a group. That's why you have kind of a header there for manage content. And then I have several items inside of there. I just want to point out a couple things in here. You can see for the validate content on all distribution points, let me try to zoom that in a little bit too. So for validating distribution points, I'm calling PowerShell, and then I'm actually passing the execution policy to be remote signed at this point. That way I don't have to modify my default configurations for PowerShell. I can still be secure by default anytime anybody else launches PowerShell on the system or whatever. But when I'm launching it from a right-click in the Configuration Manager console, I'm actually going to bypass signing. Obviously, if you can, signing is preferred. Basically, after that, I'm just passing a file name. And then there's a couple arguments that come from the Configuration Manager console. And I don't think I can quite see them there. Let me get out of my Zoom. And you'll see over here, we're going to pass the namespace and the server so we know what server we need to connect to, as well as a package ID. And when we run that PowerShell, and I'll show you on the send to DP groups here, basically we're going to grab those arguments. Once we have those, we're going to import that module for Configuration Manager. And since we're sending it to DP groups, we obviously have to get all the DP group names. And this is a simple commandlet for running that, get CM distribution point group. All I care about is the name, and you'll see why in just a minute or two. And basically, for this, we actually pop up a little information in a PowerShell so that the admin can select which DP group they want to send to. If you have a standard in your environment, you could obviously just hard code it in the XML file so that you don't even have to prompt for that. So we prompt asking for a DP group, and I'll show you that in just a minute. It's slightly tricky, not too tricky, but you see these start CM content distribution commandlets. There's a different parameter that's required for each type of package. A package, an operating system package, driver package. So we have to have a little bit of a switch statement. We grab a little bit more information whenever we run this on a system because there's different types. Just a simple example here. I select send to DP. Takes a couple seconds because as we've shown, we are connecting to the provider. Provider isn't the fastest thing in the world, but it works well and works and gets things done. Something else I also want to point out here, we talk about connecting to the provider, and that's very important. And everything we're showing, you are connecting through the WMI provider. That's how you still manage all of your writes through Configuration Manager. So anybody that runs these right-click tools are limited to the writes that they've been granted through Configuration Manager. There's no way around that other than touching SQL directly, which all of us know we shouldn't be doing. So have no fear, but if you've scoped certain things down, if I didn't have the rights to send content to a DP group, obviously my script would fail and I have to add some error checking in. But in this example, basically, to not have to deal with the GUI, we're just saying select a DP group, press enter, and then it'll automatically add that DP group. That's all there is to it. Pretty straightforward, pretty helpful in my opinion. I do want to show you a slight different twist, redistributing content. This is an example where we still have to go back to the WMI days. I did want to mention WMI in a couple spaces here, and one particular, from MMS 2012, I talked a bit about Configuration Manager and WMI. Definitely go out and check out the free videos for that. So if you haven't used WMI Configuration Manager, you'll see some helpful hints for how to leverage it with Config Manager. A lot of it is similar. We still need to pass those arguments like we talked about before. We still connect to the provider. We have to do it a little bit different than we did previously. And you can see I'm just calling a get WMI object and specifying the SMS distribution point class. Once I get that information, I make sure there's more than one distribution or more than zero distribution points, right? I can't validate or redistribute content unless it's actually on a DP. And this is some of the magic of WMI. I have a method on the SMS distribution point class I can call refresh now equals true. Actually, that's a property. I shouldn't even say that. It's kind of weird sometimes in WMI. That's a property that I set to true that actually, when I save it with that put command, it triggers the redistribute to occur. I think we'll talk about a method maybe a little bit later. So that's all it really takes to redistribute the package to all your DPs that are targeted. Let's see. All right, this is a new one I want to talk about as well. So we have this new idea of deploying simulations with the new applications, right? We can create an application. You've got all these deployment types. You might have some complexity in what you want to do. Sherry had some great discussions in theory the other day, yesterday, about how maybe you can minimize the number of collections you have by targeting greater numbers in collections and letting your deployment types determine whether things should install or not, or specifically how commands should be run. So you obviously want to test that, and you do that with a simulation. The only thing that's missing with the simulation is that I can't just promote it to production. I have to delete a simulation and then go through the process again to create a new deployment to basically do what I almost did with a simulation. So I just wanted to show how you can leverage PowerShell commandlets to do that. I forget that button. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so let's look at our deployments. So you can see I have a simulation, 7-zip, and I'm ready to deploy that to production. You see from my simulation, 3 successes. Now I'm just going to do a right-click and promote. You also notice another handy right-click there that I've added, delete deployment, right? It's always great to test against all systems until you realize you're not testing anymore. So delete is very helpful as well on the monitoring side. So we can hit promote, and we'll show you the code behind this in just a minute. But basically, we get the information on the simulation. Once we have that information, like I mentioned, you can't have the same app targeted to the same collection in a simulation and an actual required deployment. So we get the information on the simulation. We then delete the simulation. And then we create a new one. And then this one, we actually put a little bit of a catch in here, because we do tell you the collection you're targeting, and we tell you how many members are in that collection. Kind of an, are you sure you want to do this? Yeah, I'm sure. I probably can't click on it that way. Let's go back. Now we'll create the deployment. And we can see now we're required. And like I said, the whoops, I can come in here and I can delete it as well. So let me just show you a couple steps in that script. Again, you do extend the console with the right click. It's a different GUID. The XML is very similar. We capture those arguments like I talked about. Depending on your environment, there's several things you could do in this space, right? Basically, we're creating a required deployment, and we're saying it's going to happen today, and it's going to happen at 8 p.m. tonight. You can obviously even pass those command lines or surface a date time picker if you'd like. Once again, we import the module. We make sure we're connected to the right drive. There's a few things that we need between a simulation and an actual deployment. Certain things like the collection name, for example. We have the collection ID, so now we need to get the name, and that's what we're doing by getting the CM device collection. And then we're getting the deployment, and it's a simulation, and it's actually, if you look in the SDK, it'll tell you that a deployment of type 3 is a simulation. So I didn't really show it, but if you right-click on a traditional package, for example, you would see the promote to production there as well. Obviously, that doesn't work on packages. It only works on new applications. So there's no way to really hide that or change that in the GUI with the right clicks that we have today. So basically, we just need to check for that in our code. Once we have that, you saw we displayed a little bit of information. And really, we only have a couple lines here where we're actually doing the heavy lifting. We remove the simulation, like I mentioned, and then we run the start CM application deployment. And what's great about this is I showed it in our right click, but really you can move this into anything, right? If you're using Orchestrator, any type of workflow tool, or Remedy, or any of those other four-letter words, right? You can go in and you can actually architect out a pretty quick way from a change control perspective. Once those things have been approved, you could automate the deployment. Okay. All right, I have one more I'm going to show you. Application requests, kind of automating that process. I don't know if any of you have used it yet in Configuration Manager, but basically you can target a user for an app. User can request approval if you require it, and then someone has to go into the console and approve it. Once that's done, then the user can go back into the application catalog and install it. That's a nice starting point, right? There are some third parties that have integrated and added some additional functionality. There's also a solution accelerator, right, that allows you to use Orchestrator as well as a service manager. Mm-hmm. And then your company has also provided something as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's pretty slick. What I needed for my environment, at least from a proof of concept perspective, I needed to have a little more control over who the approvers are or something like that. So this is just an opportunity to demonstrate how we can interact with Configuration Manager and maybe kick off a workflow if we want, and then come back and automatically approve something or get it to the right person to do an approval. So let's go to that demo. All right, so real quick, I'm just going to show the user experience. So I'm on a Windows 8 system here. You can see I got a couple things targeted to this system. I'm actually going to hit refresh. I'm not exactly sure if that information is correct on the screen there. But we saw three applications. They should all require approval. One of them might not show required because I probably already tested with it. We'll count to five slowly. And once this information appears, I'll just as an end user, I'll request some new software. Maybe we'll count to 10. All right, great. All right, so 7-zip requires approval. I need it to do my job, right? So I'm going to request it. Well, because I need it to do my job. It's very hard to type a sentence without any typos, so that was pretty impressive. Okay, so I requested it, sent it off. I'm going to minimize my Windows 8 system. And just to show from a roles-based type of scenario, there's a lot more granular we could get, but this is a user in this console that can only approve applications. You can obviously scope that so they can only approve specific applications if you want to as well. But basically, you can see we have one here, Frank 2, that has requested 7-zip. And we can dig in and we can see those comments in here as well if we'd like. But basically, what I'm just going to show you is we can run a PowerShell script on the back end. We're going to look for any pending requests, and then we're going to start to kick off a couple things. So I'm just going to kick off this PowerShell, and we'll talk about the script here for a minute. Okay, so let me show you the output, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so basically, we got that information on that request, and we identified the username, we identified the email by querying Active Directory, and we also got the comments. Then we went into Configuration Manager, and let me flip over here real quick, because I didn't show you ahead of time. If I go to my 7-zip application, I very smartly added an owner, and it was actually an email address. You can do anything you wanted here, but this is just the idea that I had. I can put my owner in here in any way I want, and then I can use my script to decide what I want to do, right? You could even put manager, and then if you wanted, you could query Active Directory, find out their manager, and start the conversation that way. right? So basically, like I said, we know the application, we know the user requested it, we queried Active Directory, we got the email account. We basically have everything we have, everything we need now to contact the approver to request them to approve the software. And I don't have Exchange configured, so basically I'm just outputting it here to the screen. But you can see I've got an approval URL and I got a deny a URL. So let me just grab that URL. You can all pretend it's in your email or something. Old school email. And I'll just paste it in. It's not very pretty. I never claim to be pretty. But you can see on the screen, we approved the software. Now we can go back if we really want to, and we could look. And if I hit F5, we should be able to see that it's now approved. So it's pretty simple. We're not doing anything that requires, you know, a bunch of stuff bolted on. Basically, it's PowerShell script. Unfortunately, there's one little piece that I haven't identified. I'll say it's missing. Hopefully, somebody can prove me wrong. I don't believe there's a status message that comes back through Configuration Manager when applications are requested. Otherwise, you could use status message filter rules, and you could automate this whole thing pretty easy. Otherwise, right now, you're just going to do some type of polling interval to check your site to see if there's any new application requests. But you, as you can see, I mean, that was pretty basic. If I look, I think I've got less than 50 lines of code here, and there's a bit of fluff. I'll go ahead and just talk about a couple things here. We talked through a bit of the information. As you can see, a lot of this starts to get redundant, right? We always need to know some certain information. Since this isn't a right-click tool, I'm actually hard-coding my server and site code information in here. Depending on where you're running this, if it's running specifically on your primary site, you could even clean that up and genericize this even a bit more. But you can see I'm running this commandlet, get CM approval request, and I'm looking for current state equals 1. And if you look in the SDK, you'll find that current state equals 1 basically means it's impending. I also added a little bit more in here as far as if it's a new request in the last 100 minutes, for example, and that just kind of comes down to how often you're polling. You could take that off completely and just nag the people that need to be approving these things and send them an email every so often. Basically, from there, everything is centered off of the request GUID. This is a unique GUID that Configuration Manager gives any app request. Once you have that information, the model name, it's kind of a GUID slash with another strange thing with it, but that's what Configuration Manager basically maps the requested application to the application in Configuration Manager. We get some more information, right? I mentioned we got the username. We then split that out so we can run the getAdUser commandlet, and when we run that, that's how we get the email address back. And then we actually query Configuration Manager using the getCMApplication commandlet. Again, I mentioned that model name. That way we know we're actually getting the right application the user requested. And you can see I'm passing with an XML parameter because I know that this SDM package XML is actually XML. So once I have that back, I do a little parsing in XML. I pull out the user ID, which that's that application owner that I mentioned, pulling out a little more information. I can obviously pull out a bit more here, but this is information that I'm building so that I can send it to the app owner to give them the ability to approve. And then you can see I've just built out my URLs for approve and deny. I've got a couple ASP scripts, nothing fancy there. And then just the end of this is, I'm building the body of my email message, and then I've rimmed it out for this demonstration. But send mail message is how I can send this out to the requester. You could obviously do a lot more things at this point as well, right? You could send it to the requester as well as the owner so that they know that it's in process or whatever. Now, the flip side of that, I'll show it here. So this is my simple ASP. Not much to it. I'll zoom in here a little bit. I always have to ask, anybody have the SMS 2003 recipes book? At least one or two of you. All right, good. I still reference it for stuff like this, okay? So this is great. I can use ASP, very, very VBScript-like, and I can actually, basically when I pass that URL to my ASP page, then I'm going to run my query, and you can see the approval there right in the middle of the screen. And then just I displayed something a little simple to the person that clicked on the link. Obviously, you can, your ASP for deny is very similar. And of course, there's a ton more you can do from here, right? As soon as this is approved, you could then send an email off to that person that requested it and tell them it's been approved. So there's a lot of things here that we could do that really takes that basic app approval to the next level.
Okay, remote management. I have received many questions regarding to remote management. Questions like, do I need to install admin console to my admin PC or to my management server? Then the answer is no. You only need to enable PowerShell remoting on your primary site server, and you can use only, for example, invoke command to invoke a script block on your remote server, or you can actually create a PowerShell session to that server, or you can use, for example, PowerShell web access to manage your server through a web browser. So you can actually do it from your mobile phone also if you want to do that. And currently we don't have any commandlets for clients, so we still need to use WVMI to configure certain things. So let's go quickly through the process. In this example, I'm currently using a new PS session to create a session to my primary site server. And here, I'm explicitly say that connect to a 32-bit Windows PowerShell, but by default it connects to 64-bit Windows PowerShell, and if the connection is connected, then I can enter to the remote session. And in remote session, I can import the PowerShell module. It will take a moment.
So, Kaido, you're running this on a system that doesn't have the Config Manager console installed at all, right? Or theoretically, we can.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, just to make that clear, since you're doing a remote session, we don't need to have the Configuration Manager console installed.
Nope, we need, because the module is only with admin console.
That's why I keep them around, I guess. Yep. Thanks, Kaido.
So we are already on CMBR2. So let's change the connection context. And let's create one device collection China servers. So we should have now a collection called China servers. Yep, we have a collection China servers. And if the job is done, we can exit and remove the PowerShell session. So that's one of the examples. Second example, I'm only using the invoke command. I have one script block that I'm executing on remote server called cmprimary2. And let's execute this one. And it should create a collection called Denmark servers. Yep. And I have a collection Denmark servers. That was the second example. And we can also combine the invoke command with the new PS session commandlet. I have the script block. Then I will create the session to cmprimary1, which is my second primary site. And then I'm using invoke command to invoke this script block on that remote session. And let's check the primary one.
I think we saw an error there on the other screen. something about the pipeline and not in a closed state or in a closed state.
Yep. It's. Yep. It's here. Not it. Okay. I have to zoom it. Okay. So, and then last example, I'm using PowerShell Web Access from my administrator PC. The web interface looks like this. And if I type my credentials, CMBR1, and I need to configure the configuration name also. And
so you had in the 32 because we need to be in that 32-bit mm-hmm. space, right? Okay. And eventually, it will show the PowerShell Web Console, right?
Yep. Yep, and we are connected. I can see the C drive, and I will import my script library. And let's create the one user collection. New CM user collection name test users limiting collection name all users. Yep, and we should have collection on primary one. Test users.
Okay, great. All right, I want to mention a couple other things, some quirks, nuggets, other things about Configuration Manager and scripting that you might want to be aware of. Depending on what you're doing with PowerShell and Configuration Manager or WMI and Config Manager, you may never run into these, but just have an example here on the next slide I just want to talk about for a minute. So I have a link to talk that'll give you a little more information about lazy properties and Bitwise. So I encourage you to download the presentation, like I mentioned. So there's two examples. You can see the one on the left, one on the right. One is using WMI, the other one is using the PowerShell commandlets. Basically, what we're doing in both of these is we're getting all the programs for all packages in Configuration Manager. Once we have those, we're enumerating them. And you can see, going on the wrong screen. You can see here, I don't know that we have, yeah, we can, great. So with a lazy property, and I have a definition in the hidden slides, basically, when you do a query against Configuration Manager, if a property is marked lazy, you actually don't receive that information back. Kind of like if you do a select star, it's kind of weird, but you might receive a false back when the actual value is true. So you have to be aware of properties that are lazy or not, and you can look at the Configuration Manager SDK for that. Program flags is an example of lazy property. And program flags is kind of a strange one because it's a hex number, binary number that actually has a lot of different settings within it. And the only way to get to that information is once we have a program, we can do a direct call, and you can see the WMI in brackets, and we're actually calling to get that specific program. Once we have that, we do this binary AND to see if this program flags is set to allow suppressing of notifications to end users. If it's already set, then we just do nothing and we loop to the next program. If it's not suppressed, so if the setting is not set to true at this point, basically we list the information to the screen, and you can see we're doing a binary OR, which are also fun, and we're passing it the specific program flag. And as with all things in WMI, once you make that setting change, you need to do the put so that you save that information back to Configuration Manager. This is a slow process because we're querying kind of twice, right? We query for all programs, and then we have to use this specific get with this WMI accelerator to pull back all properties, including the lazy properties. Just important to know that. If you're ever doing anything in the console, it doesn't look like what you're seeing when you query. Go back and look at the SDK. If you just search for, and when you're, especially when you're dealing with WMI, if you just search for SMS underscore program and look in the information for SMS program on MSDN for lazy, you'll find some of those properties. You'll find all of those properties that are lazy. So this is the example with using getcmprogram, the commandlet. Now, we still have the same challenge because when I do that getcmprogram, it doesn't list out each one of those properties separately. You have a program flag's value. And I caution you, if you just grab that program flag's value and you set one value equal to another one, you're modifying a lot more settings than the one you think you are, right? Because there's several program settings that are affected by this program flag. So it would be very rare or uncommon for you to have all program flags set the same across every program you have. That's interesting with anything you do in scripting, right? You can do things really fast, and you also have the opportunity to shoot yourself in the foot really, really fast. So be sure that you're careful with those things. So we are still doing the check with the binary and. That, like I said, that doesn't go away. This is a little different when we do the setcm program. There is a parameter suppress program notifications true. So you can just set this when you're, well, you can even set this when you're creating a program. But this is how you modify a program using the commandlets. So you might think, well, why don't I just loop all my programs and run this commandlet against all of my programs? You're going to cause a bit of overhead, and if you're changing, for example, 500 of them all of a sudden, that's 500 new policies that are generated for every system you're targeting. It's kind of a waterfall effect. So just keep that in mind if you're, you know, running scripts to change things on systems. By doing it this way, you're looking to see which items need to be changed first.
Greg, is there a difference using WMI directly or built-in commandlets for performance?
Yeah, that's a good point. So performance is interesting. I don't know if you've used getcmprogram on, let's say you have 1,000 programs. If you run getcmprogram and you don't give it any parameters for the ID, just like I have here, just getcmprogram, you'll see that it takes a very long time to get that information back. When I say very long, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, coffee break minutes, right? It takes a long time because when you run getcmprogram, it is actually doing that explicit call so that you get the lazy properties back. If you don't need the lazy properties, you know, say for example you just want to look at the command line, which is not a lazy property, you could use WMI instead, and you'll get that same result back in, you know, 20 seconds or something like that. So just depending on what you're doing, depending on how fast things need to be, that might be a reason why you might want to use WMI. All right, so we've talked a bit about commandlets and WMI and when you may want to use one or the other. We just wanted to point out a couple things that in our books, these are things that we'd like to see be commandlets. I think Kaido's probably filed a bug for every single one that we'd like to see have commandlets. Right, maintenance windows is one that still requires WMI.
Yep. We still need to use WMI to create the maintenance windows and console folders, which is also quite important. Then we can create the different structures in our admin console. And
then like we talked about, the content management as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's still some things out there that you just won't see commandless for at this point. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so we set aside a little demo slide here. I don't know if we've got time. You want to talk about collections, or I'm sorry, it wasn't collections.
It's
cost the folders, right?
Yep.
All right, let's do that.
I have one custom PowerShell script that creates 6 different folders, and it creates a lot of different collections. And I have a parameter folder, so it moves the collection to a correct folder. So Currently, I don't have any folders on my console. So if I execute the script, wrong location. So it will take a moment to run. And if I check my console, then I see that I have already 5 folders. And it's still running. And I have already 2 collections under my software updates, and we currently can't do this with built-in commandlets.
Right, still have to touch the VMI for that, right?
Okay. Yep. So let's see. Still running.
Okay. All right, let me show you a couple other things while that's running. Just a couple other things I wanted to point out. A lot of times, it's kind of hard to figure out the commandlet that you might need to run. Jeffrey Snover likes to say, think, type, do. That's the whole goal of PowerShell. We're getting there. A lot of commandlets, depending on who builds them from different companies and things like that, may not follow the verb-noun form. The configuration manager ones have done pretty well, but there's a lot of them, and there's some, I don't know, similarities between a lot of them. So I just want to show you this command, get-command. I specified the module configuration manager, and then I'm going to throw it to a grid view. This is where I always go whenever I'm trying to figure out what commandlet I need to look at. And I'll zoom in here real quick. Our grid view is wonderful. You can do that on just about anything. So once I have this information here, I can then go up into filter, and let's say I want to look for approval. Right, so now I've suddenly narrowed down my list to get an idea of all the different commandlets that are available for approval. So once I have that, then I'll go out to TechNet and I'll find some documentation. Just to take this a little bit further, let me get out of this, and I'm just going to do this on the fly here. So I'm going to say approve CM approval request. If I do a get help approve CM approval request, when I type this, you might get enough information right here to get you rolling, right? You can actually see the parameter set, application name, user. You see that information there. Depends on your commandlets. You might be able to do a dash full on the end of it. And you might see some additional information. And you get maybe a little bit more here. Yeah. So there's a bit of information there. One other thing I'll show you real quick. It's talking about those right-click tools and how to identify those nodes. And again, I referenced a link where you can download this. But basically, Matthew Hudson has created basically a folder structure that has all of the possible right-click nodes that you could have. So a quick way to cheat on your test admin console is you copy them and you paste them into this extensions actions directory. Once you have them there, let me close my admin console, and I'll reopen that admin console. It does require a close and reopen. Now you'll see I can go anywhere in the admin console now, and I can see the GUID. So that helps me figure out where I need to drop my XML file. Now there's a lot more to it, right? I mean, there's different parameters for different objects and things like that. But at least gives you a nice leap to help you figure out where you need to go to get those nodes, to get the right-click action. So that's pretty handy. Again, it's hidden in the slides. Do you have anything else you want to show, or are we good?
I think that.
Good there? Okay, yep. Great. Okay, Kaito has a great blog, lots of Configuration Manager SDK information. I've got a little bit of Configuration Manager SDK information, and you also see our
Twitter handles there as well. I think anytime I post, it automatically throws a little tweet out there so you can kind of see how active I am or not active. But there's some good info out there. All the sample right clicks, I'll post those. The one for the application approval, I'll probably take a little bit longer because I just need to clean that up and make sure it's documented a little bit. But definitely take a look at our web links. You'll find a lot of good information there. We're always open for questions, things that you're looking for as well. We'll try to address those. Mm-hmm. As always, please fill out your evaluations. We want to make sure that we're giving you the right content you're looking for. Definitely send that information back to us. Everything that's done here at MMS is recorded, so be sure you go out to Channel 9, get those recordings. And as well, as I mentioned, you can go back into Schedule Builder and start downloading those PowerPoint presentations. So at this time, I think we're ready for questions.
Yep.
Yep. Thank you. If anybody wants to use the mic, feel free. Otherwise, if anybody wants to come up, we'll handle them that way.
You have a lot of examples of creating a collection, but not populating the collection. Do you have any examples on your website for throwing the query in there?
So the question was, we have examples for creating, but not necessarily for populating. So you're looking for examples of how to add a query, for example, right? Yeah. I don't know if you have any Kaido. We can definitely put that on the list, and we'll generate those. So basically, it's a matter of using the WQL to, and that's basically a command line parameter that you would state. But I don't know that I have one out there now, but this is a good one. We'll add that. Mm-hmm. That was it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Two claps.